Hey, male gazers. Hey, it's Chris here. Two things. First thing of all, I kind of mucked up the sound on this episode because I'm still on tour. I don't know how to use my microphone and I'm a mess. And number two, because I mucked up the sound so much, this episode was a little bit late to come out, which means the Australia marriage equality thing is out of date. So first of all, congratulations, Australia. Great news. And so, yeah, this episode's like living in Back to the Future. But I hope you enjoy it, and it's still very funny, and we love you lots. Bye.
A great big thank you to bigpipe.co.nz, who provide the best and fastest and most quality internet to our beautiful country, Aotearoa, New Zealand, with plans starting from just $69. And guess what?
They ain't shooting blanks. They're shooting high-speed internet.
Phew! Oh, a high quality Netflix video? Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I'll tell you that.
I'm watching that.
Thanks, Big Pipe. You're helping us all out. You're babes.
You are babes. I'm sorry, Mom, but you're not just good looking. You also are quality inside and out.
And welcome to a long-awaited episode of The Male Gaze.
It's so long that Chris has forgotten how the theme song has gone, or decided to reboot it.
It was like a remix. Yeah. You know when like...
The Male Gaze.
Did you notice that like Miley Cyrus did that when she released her like Younger Now album, and then she just like also released like a whole bunch of remastered, like edited versions of like one of the singles?
Really?
Well, I only know this because I tried to download the album and I downloaded that album, which is just all of the same song, just edited different ways by different artists.
Oh, that's weird. I want to say...
And I wasn't happy about it.
I reckon Younger Now is a bomb.
Oh, really?
I like that song, but this album and this phase of Miley, I don't know. I think she's dropped out of the race. I don't know.
Well, I like that song, the Younger Now song.
And yeah, I kind of like that as well.
When Malibu comes on, I'll have a wee jig.
And I like how Malibu kind of has a drop, even though it's just like acoustic country song, but it has that little, you know, bit you can groove to after the chorus.
I don't mind the one with Dolly Parton in it, only because Dolly Parton is in it.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'll listen to anything with Dolly in it.
Yeah. I guess, to be honest, I just feel like, who are you? Because I feel like every Miley phase, she's like, I'm finally at my true self. And most recently, it was like, my true self is me and the Flaming Lips getting stoned all the time and making weird music. And
but
now
we
she's
know
like,
that is never one's true self.
No, yeah,
everyone's
I guess
always
so.
Going to be like, I love weed. And then like 2 years later, they're going to be like, oh my God, I smoked too much weed.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I guess it's just because her new phase seems to be like, I don't do weed anymore. I know I said I was pansexual, but...
I'm love Liam Hemsworth, the straightest man in the world.
Yeah, marrying the plainest, most vanilla man in the entire galaxy.
He's pretty hot.
He is very hot. I don't mean plain, I just mean like...
I got into a big fight with Alice Nennan from Bone of the Heart, because I was like, he has not got the whole package, unlike his brother. And then she... let rip like she was fuming and came down on me and then showed me like maybe 8 pictures that would persuade my opinion on him to believe that he is actually smoking, and it worked. He's smoking.
Yeah, but I mean, Chris is funny. He's got some cool roles. Liam's biggest role is being the other guy from the Hunger Games, who's a bit more boring than the other already boring guy.
I just completely gave up on Hunger Games, to be honest.
Did you?
I watched the first one, and then I was like, nah, I want killing. I don't want any of this love story. I'm here for Battle Royale, basically.
Yeah, well, you can watch that. We used to put that on at parties when I was at high school. Like, music would be playing, but then on every TV. Was that...
I said buzzkill.
Buzzkill. Nah, people, you'd be just like hanging out, having drinks, and then you'd turn, and then they'd be wearing those weird neck things in Battle
that
Royale.
That moment you're making out with your boo, and then he puts on Battle Royale.
Battle Royale. Battle Royale 2. And then he's like, should we put on these neck things?
The sequels are really crazy to Battle Royale, eh? Because it's all about like the weird like subplot. You know when he like reveals the painting at the end? That painting is glorious.
What a weird film. And so weird that someone turned, because Hunger Games essentially is an adaptation of that, really. She can try and say she wasn't inspired, but
it
definitely seems like she saw that and then was like, I could turn this into a novel for 14-year-olds.
When you say she, I am only thinking Jennifer Lawrence. Is it written by a woman?
Yeah, I think so.
In my mind, written, created, and starring Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence wrote The Hunger Games. No, it's written by Suzanne Collins. That is an industry, young adult fiction, definitely like majority woman, right?
Yeah.
Think about like every like,
give
young
them
adult
men a chance.
Book, I think The Maze Runner might be by a guy.
Ugh, you can tell.
Yeah.
I haven't read it. I haven't read any books.
They're all the same. What's so funny? So, hey, listeners, one of the reasons why this episode has taken so long to come out is because every time we've gone to record it, Chris has remembered that he doesn't have headphones in Dunedin where he is right now. And I, every time you've said that, I've been like, why do you not have headphones? And then I remembered it's because you don't listen to music or consume movies or books.
I'm like, oh, I'll be all right. I can last another couple of months in death silence. And what's crazy as well is that I'm in like Dunedin by myself, and I'm not like, oh, probably should get some headphones to like listen to music while I'm alone in the streets of Dunedin. I'm just like, no, I'll just have the silence again.
Yeah,
I love the silence.
The sounds of Dunedin.
Just, what's wrong with me?
I don't know, man, but it's not wrong.
Hey,
it's
clear head, clear
special.
Mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
clear head.
Hey, we have
clear mind, clear Danes.
Damages. We haven't done an episode, so this is how bad we've been, because we have not even done an episode since Australia got marriage equality, which is pretty big news.
Well, they haven't even got marriage equality yet. That's the thing. That's the really
that's true.
Like amazing and frustrating thing about this whole process for them. Like, it just takes so long. And yeah. I mean, they're gonna get it, aren't they? Like, they're a shoo-in.
Oh, I think the bill just passed in the Senate.
But
something like 40
but that doesn't
to 12
mean
bucks.
That it's signed, sealed, and delivered, though, doesn't it? It means it moves on to like the next stage.
Yeah, there's a lot of stages, but
here it
people
is. I've got it in a
News Hub
article here.
News Hub big winners at the TV awards last night. Congrats!
Big congrats.
Covered on the Kaikoura earthquake.
The bill will now be moved to the House of Representatives, where it is expected to pass without delay.
I hope so.
They're going to fast post that, mate.
Yeah, slipping through. They were promised it by Christmas. You'll be gay by Christmas.
You'll be married by Christmas.
Yeah.
When the postal vote went through and everyone was like, we've got it, we've got marriage equality. I was like, well, not yet, actually.
It was non-binding. But if they didn't put it through after the postal vote, they would look like a bunch of assholes. Which,
they would
to be
have
honest,
hell to pay. There'd be a lot
they
of
do all the time.
That actually brings me on to my, even though you've got Fact of the Gay coming, I'm going to
put that in my back pocket.
I'm going to head straight into Queen of the Week. And this week and last week and the week before's Queen of the Week is Labour Senator Leader Penny Wong.
She rules.
She is so great. Like, she wasn't, I guess being a New Zealander, like, you don't really know, or anyone outside of Australia, like, you don't really know the kind of subtleties of the story going over there, like, in Australia at the moment, like, you know, who the characters are, what their positions are. It's sort of hard to sort of get, like, notable figures over this whole journey of marriage equality. But, like, Penny Wong is one who has just somehow, well, not somehow, but she is the Labour leader, Labour Senator leader, but she's kind of like broken through, and I'm like, all right, so is she like the face of the bill? In my mind, she is. She's like the poster girl. She's cover girl.
She seems like in the Senate. I get very confused between the difference between the Senate and the Parliament.
I don't know how Australian government works. There's like, I don't know who the, there's like, okay, so there's like the Labour Party, and then they've got a Green Party, and then they've got like,
they do,
a Liberal Party.
Yes.
But the Liberal Party are not liberal or something? I don't know.
Yeah, the Liberal Party are conservatives, right? And then
it's backwards day. every day in an Australian government. So it's always opposite day.
And there's Pauline Hanson, who not many people vote for, but who gets to have her face and opinion all over the news every night.
Yes. I think she's like a witch and she's cast a spell.
Yeah.
Would mean that she can stay and live in the government for a thousand years.
She lives there. She sleeps under her desk every night.
She seems to be like the Winston Peters of Australian government, but even though Winston has since kind of like cleaned his track record up by siding with our Labours, who are, are they different to the Australian Labour Party?
Oh. No, I think they're the same, but yeah, I think so.
It's confusing.
I love this podcast, The Male Gaze. What you hear is people who are not very educated about the things they're talking about.
having a crack at politics. How they work.
Here's the thing. I was in Australia for the passing of the Marriage Equality Bill.
Oh my God. Amazing.
I was in Surfers Paradise where you would not know that anything had happened.
Were you on like the Scooby Doo ride and they're like, and the postal, like some radio announcement came over with the postal votes?
Yeah. No, we were at a theme park that day, and thanks for bringing it up because the Scooby Doo ride was closed.
I mean, it's the best ride.
It is, and I'd built it up to my boyfriend, so I was like, you are going to love the Scooby-Doo ride. Get ready. And then it was like, as we walked in, it was like, these rides are closed. Oh, and I built up the log flume as well, also closed. But hey, that's all right.
Dreamland is doing a massive hustle on all their rides after the like big Dreamworld disaster.
Yeah, they were like, we really got to check these.
Did you go to Dreamworld?
No, we just went to Movie World, which weirdly is all superhero rides now, every single ride. So
There's
like a Batman one, there's a DC Villains one, there's a Superman one, and then the new one is called, and then there's a Justice League ride, and then there's also a new one which is called DC Rivals, which is also essentially a Justice League ride, but it's really good.
Is the Justice League ride too long and really boring? I don't know.
The film?
I haven't seen the film.
I know, and I don't think I will.
Right, the reviews stink.
Yeah,
I might watch it because I've got a lot of time to kill down here. But anyway, Penny Wong.
we saw it.
She's amazing, right? And I think she kind of broke through because she broke down on television. And it was kind of interesting, like her position on that, where it's kind of a big, she said she felt like there's a huge risk because as a politician, you've got to sort of show a certain level of strength and strong-willedness. And like, I don't know, we've still got this kind of horrible hangover as a society that like crying is a form of weakness. And she like bursts into tears. It's so beautiful at the on the announcement of the results. But that kind of was like, that was like the 3-second clip they used everywhere. But she's... she was also the first openly gay member of government in Australia.
Really?
Yeah. And
that's amazing.
I found the sentence before, but I've lost it. There was a nice little thing about first openly gay woman in parliament and first openly gay member of cabinet.
Wow.
And she's married and she's got two kids, which I just love that she's like sitting in government where they're talking about like same-sex marriage and like how what's it going to be like, right, you know, when you have same-sex couples raising kids. And then she's like, no, I'm doing it, it's a deal.
She's also a Christian. I was reading in her
I like when politicians have to question their faith. And
oh my gosh,
like Jacinda's like talked openly about it, our prime minister, about being raised Mormon.
Yes.
And having been confronted by her faith when the civil union bill was
civil
being
union
passed.
One, yeah.
And she was with Grant Robertson and she was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm pretty sure that's what she said. That's the pull quote. She said, oh my God, what am I doing? And then just packed up her Mormon suit and shipped on into government.
It's so weird that in America, right, they have to all go to, like, you know, the voting public needed to see shots of, like, Hillary Clinton going to church and they would never vote in a non, like...
Blurg.
If a presidential candidate was openly atheist or not of faith, there's no way they get in. But in New Zealand, like, it probably helped Jacinda win some people over that she was like, I've left the church.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And everyone here's like, oh, good on you, mate.
It's a load of garbage.
But I feel like Australia's kind of caught in the middle there somewhere. It is still, it's, yeah, weird. There's a weirdly conservative, I think as soon as you get outside of like Sydney or Melbourne, it's like very religious conservative piece.
How boring to go to church and just like pretend that you're into it because you're one of the votes. That's like, yeah, our exactly. Family going to church on Christmas Day and being like, we're doing this for my grandma, but we don't like it. We would rather be opening prezzies.
Yeah. Oh, the weirdest part is that probably like Donald Trump, I reckon he's been to church probably 20 times in his entire life. But he got voted to pay a bunch of Christians anyway.
I know. I love when he was like making all these claims about the Bible and then they're like, what's your favorite passage? And he's like, oh, all of it. I just love the book. I love the whole book.
We watched Penny Wong, and the day before the Marriage Equality Bill, we just like started watching some government TV in our hotel, and we saw them. I don't even know what they were debating, but there was a new Speaker of the House.
Ooh.
And Australian politicians, they're just, I mean, I think maybe this is all politicians, but they're just the worst. Like, we watched it for about half an hour, and most of the discussion was just people calling each other out for inappropriate language or whatever. And you're not supposed to use that phrase, blah, 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 blah.
Like online when you have like a fight and they're like, it's there, not there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, or we like just want you to apologize.
You're like, oh, shut up. She's our queen of the week, and rightly so. And she sits loftily above Paris Hilton.
I almost could have met Paris Hilton, by the way. She's, her new fragrance just came out, her 47th, and...
Oh, it's her 110th fragrance.
Yeah, I was in Sydney, staying in Newtown, which, by the way, you could, like, it was like 2 weeks then after the vote, and there was rainbow flags everywhere and news posters everywhere, so it was the complete opposite of Surfers Paradise. Paris Hilton was going to be visiting Sydney and you could do a meet and greet with her.
Wow.
As she was selling her new perfume at the discount chemist.
Oh, no.
And I missed out by literal days. Like 2 or 3 days.
Did you see this photo she tweeted the other day of like her holy trinity, her Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears, when they were like back together, like causing havoc in like the early 2000s?
Yes, I saw that. And I felt truly blessed by that photo.
Oh, those women are amazing.
Beautiful.
They've got to get back together. It'd be such a weird dynamic.
They should put another song out. Doesn't she have an album coming out soon?
Oh, babe, I think so. I can't wait.
I'm sorry I couldn't ask her about it when I was on the ground, close to where she was going to be soon. I've got a fact of the gay. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so this is kind of in the news, but it's also a bit of history that you might not know about. Justin Trudeau. I'm listening.
You got me.
The hottest prime minister in the world, male, because Justin is up there as well. He is, not that it's all about looks.
I don't think it's about looks at all.
I think, looks come into it.
I think anyone's ever been like, a nation has ever been proud to have a hot prime minister or leader of their country.
Oh, do you not feel a little bit of pride? Maybe not like hot, but like youthful.
No, you are absolutely talking out your ass.
You don't think of like Jacinda turning up to a bloody conference with all the world leaders and they're all old men and she's a beautiful young woman?
No, I think that is completely irrelevant. She could be, she could have like a bowl cut and I wouldn't care.
But don't you think that energy is going to, serve something different to the world stage?
No, her youth does.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But she could be young and but ugly and I wouldn't care.
Okay, yeah, that is fair. That is fair. It's not. Maybe you're right. Maybe it isn't about looks.
Your argument is so bad, and you don't even back it at all.
I just like dug myself into a hole.
Like, I'm gonna take this position. I was like, Absolutely not. I'm gonna they're definitely pressured to look good because, like, I think that helps get votes. Like, literally, we're just like, oh, she looks like she's a smart, confident woman. I'll vote for her. But I don't think it's something that we then pride ourselves on or should pride ourselves on.
Oh, do you not think we should be proud that there's you know, probably three or four legitimately hot leaders of countries and we've got one of them?
I mean, sure, I guess you could be proud of that.
Like, if you were making... if there was a ranking of, like, hottest world leaders, we would easily be in the top five.
Oh my God, get out of MTV.
Anyway, Justin Trudeau, whose looks are irrelevant, this week apologised to the victims of an act in Canada. So you know how you always think of Canada as like a lovely, wonderful place?
A bliss.
In Canada.
Yeah, bliss world.
A bliss world. The nice America. Canada, they legalised gay homosexual acts in 1969. Nice. 69?
Oh, I get it. Oh, yeah. Man, the summer of 69, it wasn't just Woodstock. It was busy all around the world.
Yeah, there's also Apple Teenies. why am I thought you were meaning Woodstock, the bourbon and coke drink.
I was like, what? I thought you meant... They were also Apple Teenies.
I think you were meaning in the summer of 69 they weren't just drinking
who
Woodstock.
Who had ever drunk an apple teeny? Apple teenies!
Apple teenies, alright.
I feel like that was the thing, like 1994. Like, even I was like 4 years old and I was like, they're not gonna last.
They're apple over already. Teenies.
I think I've been, apple tizer, was that like the sort of apple schnapps?
Oh, apple tizer is, you know how you have grape ties? The non-alcoholic, you know, option at parties. You also have apple ties, and that's good. My family has that all the time.
Delish.
Yeah, because my family has very sober Christmases.
Ooh. It's the opposite to my family, who get absolutely shit-faced by, like, midday. Everyone's, like, crawling around on their hands and knees with, like, a bottle of bubbles in their mouth.
That sounds great. I was wondering about tricking my family by getting some of that Lewis Road Creamery chocolate liqueur.
Oh,
this
is so depressing.
It's all right stuff.
Tricking your family into drinking liqueur.
I tricked my family into getting drunk this Christmas. Is that okay? anyway, in Canada. They decriminalized homosexual acts in 1969, but they had this weird program allowing for discrimination by employers, especially in government positions, maybe just in government positions, who were allowed to relinquish gay employees from their job without question. And this went up to 1992. It lasted so long. It's very awful. People in the military, the reason it started was for the military. People, for some reason, they were very worried about things being leaked to the Soviet Union, and they thought that gay people were more likely to leak information, even though there's no record of that happening.
Gay people are literally the best people at keeping secrets.
They are.
They've kept secrets their whole life.
They kept the biggest secret for a long, long time.
They might not be subtle about it, but they could definitely keep a secret.
They'd be walking past the Soviet Union being like, nah, I don't know anything. I've got nothing to tell you.
You ask me and then maybe I'll talk about it. I'll leak the news, but only in a video where I'm crying.
So, to identify targets, the authorities conducted surveillance, made threats, and even developed a so-called fruit machine.
Who?
That's what they call it, built in order to detect homosexuality. At one point, 9,000 people were under investigation by the unit.
Oh.
It ran until 1992, affected thousands of people who lost their jobs. In some cases, lawyers for the plaintiffs. In some cases, some gay women were raped by men who told them it would correct their sexual orientation as part of this program.
Oh, my God.
It's very grim stuff. And this week, Justin Trudeau apologised for it. He broke down in tears. God bless him. And the government is paying up to $110 million to repay the victims of this, which was referred to as the gay purge.
Canada's shady past, eh?
I know. I know.
Far out. It ain't just maple syrup and hot prime ministers, presidents. What is he? The leader?
He's a prime minister.
Fuck, I don't know. Captain. Captain Canada.
The captain of Canada.
Team Captain.
Captain Canada would be the nicest, most boring superhero ever. Hey, it's me, Captain Canada.
Hey, let's go over this boat. Oh, God's sake, I don't know. I can't do a Canadian accent.
No, neither.
Hey, so what's the theme of this week's podcast? That's right. You couldn't tell.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is You Couldn't Tell. So we've done You Could Tell a few times. And today we thought we could tell reasons from our childhood, stories that might have put you on the other path. If you were looking at it, you might have been like, oh, that's definitely a straight kid.
Decoys.
Decoys. The decoy moments of our life. Do you want me to start?
Please, kick us off.
So I once enrolled for an after-school program, and this just like flooded back to me recently, this whole part of my life. I enrolled in a program to study computers, right? It was at Science Alive after school. And then I went there, and I accidentally went to the wrong class. And then for about a year, I was in an after-school program which was just building things with Lego.
Whoa.
And it was like Lego stuff with motors. So I learned how to, I don't know, it's like special Lego with motors, and you learn how to build cars out of Lego. And I did that for a long time. And I can't believe that was a legitimate after school program.
That's
just
crazy.
Playing with Lego.
My brother had like a big Lego set, and I, as a child, was just knew. I was like, this is not for me. Like, I just kind of like knew that they just didn't interest me. I was like, it seems too complicated, too mathematical. No, yeah. Thank you. I'd rather play with the dolls.
We had we had Lego, but as you may remember, I have four sisters, and so the Lego that we did have was like a house with a picket fence, and we had lots of flowers.
Yes.
But you could put on the grass or on the Lego people's heads. So our Lego set was commonly used for just beautiful family scenes.
Oh, that's so nice.
But then my uncle also gave me Meccano.
I hate Meccano. I fucking got Meccano every fucking Christmas for like 8 years. And I was like, what part of my personality makes you presume I am interested in any part of this shit? I don't want to fucking screw together dinky little bits of metal to make a car that I'm never going to drive until I'm fucking 25, 26 years old, 27 years old. Get this out of here.
Yeah, it's like cold. No one thinks of, when they think of fun toys, they don't think of cold metal. And by the way, what a beautiful way of dropping in that you got your license recently.
Thank you, babe. I would rather a sack of fucking coal than a box of fucking Meccano. I hate it.
Wow.
Do you remember Bionics?
Oh, yes. They
were
kind of cool.
Fucking sick. I got so many fucking Bionics as well. And I also hated Bionics, but for a long time, with all my like straight friends when I was like, you know, 10. Mum's like, what do you want for what should we get for their birthday? I was like, oh, fucking Bionic, I don't know. Who cares? Get them on Bionic.
Bionic. They came in cool packages. I mean, I quite liked the aesthetic of the shape of the package.
Yeah, it was in like a monkey, a barrel of monkeys. I was going to say a marrel, and then I was going to say a barrel of laughs.
It was in a barrel of laughs.
I found this theme quite confronting.
Yeah.
Because I was like, maybe there was just no signs at all. I mean, that I could be straight. Like, I feel like every single choice I made, every after school activity was just like a complete red flag.
Really?
Like, my after school activities were ballet and jazz dancing. I also did drama. So then if I wasn't doing that, I was dressing up in like bits of silk and running around the house. Like, I was like, where are there any signs that I could protect? I mean, the only like major decoys was when I got girlfriends.
How early did you get girlfriends?
My first girlfriend was at intermediate school. So, like, after primary school. Yeah, started young.
Yeah, that's very early.
Everyone was getting them. And I was like, fuck, I've got to get a part of this. This is going to help me out so much.
It was like the new Bionics.
I just slip under the radar. So, yeah, I went out with this girl. And she won't be listening. Her name was Melora.
Yeah.
And shout out if you know her. And
because there's not many Meloras out there, so if you know one, it's probably her.
she gave me my first kiss, and it was a kiss from the lips to the cheek, so pretty familial.
Wait, what? It started on the lips and then moved to the cheek.
No. It was her lips to my cheek.
Oh, okay. I thought it started on your lips and then moved to the side.
Oh, yeah. We started on the lips and we quickly made ourselves to the cheeks.
and I guess you could say things were moving pretty sideways.
She had very... it was the year of lip gloss, you know, like, oh, everyone was like... I mean, girls still gloss, but it was a sticky, icky lip gloss, so really sticky.
The year of lip gloss and the year of our Lord, Paris Hilton. Lip gloss.
You know, but I was like, it was after chapsticks, but like the girls were getting them to the gloss, the sticks.
Yes, I do remember that time for sure.
And
it's particularly because I tried on their lip gloss.
Yeah.
I was like, my lips are chapped. Can I use that? They were like, it's gloss. And I was like, I just need something.
I just need something to look, just something to make my lips pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a rainy day, and she kissed me on the cheek after school. And I remember just, like, mainly getting into a relationship because she was... It was like, I can just, like, if I just have a girlfriend, then, like, I'll just have what everyone, all the other straight guys have.
And, yeah. I love that you call it a relationship.
Yeah, we went out for, like, 3 weeks.
My first relationship, I was 11, and...
and it was just, like, work that got in the way. And she...
we just weren't communicating after a while, so.
But she used to ring me up and we used to like talk on the phone, you know, like that kind of.
That's commitment.
I mean, it's so sad that kids these days don't have that joy of like calling each other's landlines and just chatting for like 40 minutes.
And even like, even when you wanted to talk on MSN and you'd have to make sure no one was using the phone and it was your like half an hour of a lot of computer time because your family had one computer.
Yeah, exactly.
All that stuff.
We used to, like, I don't even know what we'd talk about on the landlines. Just, like, nothing.
Just what happened at school that day.
Yeah, but you're in the same class. You've already experienced it all together anyway.
So, I reckon you just talk about weird stuff. I reckon you'd be, like, what's your favourite animal?
It's, like, random shit.
Yeah. But we should, those, I mean, those are the first podcasts.
Yes. You're right. If only they were recorded.
That'd be bad listening, I reckon.
I wouldn't want to be listening in on 2 11-year-old kids chatting on the phone. I would feel irresponsible and perverted.
Yeah. Even, yeah, I'd be like, someone out there is listening to this for the wrong reasons, and that makes me uncomfortable. I think that you've got a you couldn't tell story in the fact that you, if I'm correct, got your license in one test.
Do you reckon?
It took me twice on my restricted, but then 5 times on my full. And I feel like I know quite a few other gay people that just find driving tests like the most stressful, intimidating thing in the world.
Because we're people pleasers, and the person who sits beside you in the test is like a no bullshit,
yeah,
like steel balls, like
yeah,
buzzkill basically, and their job is to like not get any funnies passed. And so I was like trying to crack a few jokes and stuff, and she was just like, nah, not on my watch.
Yeah,
I cracked it in one test, but it did take me twice as long as everyone else because I just was like, I don't want to drive. And so in that sense, not a huge you couldn't tell.
Yeah, I just thought you would never get it. And then I'm very impressed that you
I proved you wrong, babe.
You did.
Proved you all wrong. Me. All the critics.
I reckon, what did you do for your birthday parties?
That's a really good indicator. I mean, there was one party where Like, I mean, as a kid, all parties are gay. Like, it doesn't matter if you're straight or whatever. It's like you're dressing up, you're cutting cakes, all that kind of stuff.
That's true.
You never, like, I guess, like, but when you're about 11, 10, 11, like, then you get to start sort of choosing what you want to do.
Yeah, and your personality emerges.
Exactly. It's tastes begin to sort of break through.
Yeah.
So, my first one was like my 10th birthday party, and it was a boys' trip. Me and the boys, about five or six boys, drove up to Handle Weekend just for a bit of R&R. Dad drove us. He bought us a 12-can thing of Coke, which I just like couldn't believe. I was like,
"That's awesome."
It felt like he bought like some DBs or something. You know, I was like, "Ha, DBs." It felt awesome. And
yeah,
but then when I look back on the footage of it, it was a very boyish weekend. You know, we went to the pools. We
had a spa. We got our mani pedis.
We got a massage. But we went to the pools. We like ran up a hill. We kicked a ball around. Like Dad was like, "Go kick a ball around." I was like, "Okay." But when I look back, there's like family. There's like home footage of it.
Yeah.
And there's one moment where I was like, "Okay, guys," and I got them to like circle up, and it's like we're about to cut into the cake. Now, when I reach the bottom of the cake, we've all got to scream.
Directing your own birthday video.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I think like on like my idea of having a boys' weekend party was like to be part of the boys, but if anything, being surrounded by straight boys really made me stick out like a sore thumb to my dad. I'm sure who was like, "Oh boy, this kid is gay.
One of these things is not like the others."
What about your birthday parties?
Similar thing. I was just gonna say, isn't it weird that like every trip to Hamner is the same? It's like we went to the pools, we went up the hill, and then we went to the pools again, then we went up the hill, and then we got fish and chips when we came home.
Yeah, it's just like I wouldn't really call it the Fire Island of New Zealand, that's for sure. It's like it's not a lot to do there.
Where would you call the Fire Island of New Zealand then? Queenstown.
Queenstown
during gay ski
week. One week a year.
Yeah. My birthday parties, similarly, all, I reckon from 8 to 12, was always Laser Strike.
Laser Strike rocks.
So good. They played the Star Wars soundtrack. It's all in the dark. You shoot people. I reckon that's quite a boysy. That's quite a you couldn't tell, but I was not very good at it, so you could tell. If you looked at my score, you could tell that I was not very good at shooting and mainly like just found a corner and chatted to someone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a really good tactic.
Yeah. And then we also used to have these like ice cream sundae parties. That was what my family called them. It was kind of like one of those ways to get excited for the fact that we didn't have much budget for parties, but it just meant that everyone came round and there was like vanilla ice cream, and then we just would buy like a lot of different sprinkles and everyone would get to design their own ice cream sundae and then eat that.
Heaven. It was really nice. I love that. It's a bit of like interior decoration. I'm doing the show at the moment down here at Hudson Halls. Again, I've been doing it all year. but I'm doing it with Kip Chapman, who is the husband of the other guy who I do the show with, and he's just stepping in to play this role. And he...
Behind the curtain.
I know. And he... he's an avid gardener. And I've suddenly realised that, like, there's always a time in a young gay man's life where he decides, like, he'll become a baker. Like they're like, "I'm going to start baking," and they start like baking for everyone, and they'll either be a good baker or a terrible baker, but like a gay man loves to bake. And I reckon the next evolvement of that, like if it's a Pokemon, is gardening.
I reckon I could definitely get into gardening.
I was like, I couldn't think of anything worse for a while.
And I do veggies,
but then Kit was like, "It's essentially like interior decoration, but for your outside garden, like." You can be like, "Oh, there's little rooms there. Oh, like little cottage gardens with like roses and stuff." And I was like,
"Yeah,
I'm kind of convinced."
Yeah, maybe I should get into it. We've got a little front lawn here that I could start doing some stuff with.
Oh God, this is literally, if this the episode is you couldn't tell, this episode is a strong you couldn't tell.
Okay, I wonder what kind of roses are.
I got into tennis.
Did you?
Yeah, I did a lot of tennis.
That's good.
I had tennis lessons. I used to play tennis quite a bit, and I was like quite aggressive playing tennis. Like I would sort of sweat and get quite angry. I was a Andre Agassi of the Christchurch scene. I mean, the fact that I even know Andre Agassi's name would be a strong you couldn't tell.
Yeah, this podcast just got straight as soon as you dropped that name.
I was trying to practice my top spin. I used to kind of flirt with my tennis instructor though.
Really?
Which I'm sure my dad would like. Me and my dad used to share a lesson, so we'd have half an hour each, and it would be my dad would go. Cute. I would go first, and dad would watch me flirt with the tennis instructor for like 30 minutes, and then dad would have a turn and actually train.
We used to tag along to my mum's lessons, me and my sister Joya, and I remember so specifically once there was like two other kids there who were another woman that was getting tennis lessons or just playing tennis. I don't know if it was tennis lessons or not, but there was these two other kids and we hated them. And we'd seen like Home Alone recently, so we decided to prank them. You know those flowers that have kind of like glue in the middle.
We're so far from being gardeners.
I know. The glue. Do you guys have any of the gluey flour? Oh, anyway, we snapped it open and spread it all over a seat. And then we tried to trick them into sitting on the seat because we thought that they would get stuck. But it's not like strong glue. And I don't know if we even convinced them to sit on it. So it was not a great prank day.
not your finest hour.
But we were genuinely being quite evil in intention, but thankfully didn't come through.
When you started drinking at high school, like what were you kind of drinking? Was that like, would you try and put people off the chase with that?
Yes. Well, first time raspberry, Fanta and vodka, so no.
Hold on. Raspberry and Fanta and vodka?
No, raspberry, Fanta and vodka.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, little twee cocktail you got yourself there.
That was my first time ever. Which is quite a gay drink. But that time, it was just me and four of my close gal pals, and and I hooked up with two of them in one night. Not something I tried to do. There was one girl that I was kind of like, I dated her in third form, and then again, and then so there was kind of a will they, won't they, and then we hooked up that drunken night, and then we were all asleep, and then later in the night, one of the other girls tried to bash me.
I feel like gay guys hooking up with their gal pals is like, it's like the guys being like, I'm putting people off the track. Like they think I'm so straight, just like hooking up with chicks. But really, like to the outside eye, you're just like, oh, look at that young gay boy playing around with his sexuality.
Working stuff out.
Yeah, trying to work it out. Like, and almost they're like, gay guys are more overconfident when it comes to like making moves on chicks because like, they know that they don't mean it.
Absolutely. After that as well. Thing.
I used to always hook up with like my gal pals at parties.
Yes. Ugh, the worst.
Yeah, just terrible. But the girls were like into it as well. Like it was all just kind of like oh, well, we can all just like hook up and it just sort of takes the pressure off actually hooking up with someone we like.
Yeah, exactly. There's no stakes on it. So we could just have a bit of fun and then we can tell people we hooked up with someone.
Do you reckon it's always the gay teens who get the most fucked up at parties?
Yes.
High school parties?
So I used to drink bourbon and cokes a lot.
Wow, that is pretty butch.
I know, but it was mainly just because I liked coke, so.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But then I remember at one of my friend's birthdays, his mum had made homebrew whiskey, and I'd never tried whiskey before.
Ooh,
and there was like,
yikes.
Yeah.
That's how they party at Rickerton.
Rickerton High School, we did it right. And then I drank all of, like, heaps of his mum's homebrew whiskey, and then everyone was getting in a bus to go to town. Oof, awful. But I couldn't go on because I just started projectile vomiting everywhere.
I just used to always get really, really stoned before going to parties. And then would, like, just drink anything I could find, like, if it was someone else's drink, it was my drink, whatever. Just drink everything and then like pass out by 11 o'clock. It was so bad. It was just screaming, I am confronting my demons.
Yeah, I flashback to any of the parties that I went to around the time that I was first coming out or just preparing to, and I was a monster, a true monster.
I was just like greedy guts. Like I would just like I was like, I got to drink everything, I got to eat everything, I got to smoke everything. I was like, that was all I was doing. It was like running around, just like ingesting stuff. It was just like so poor form. And now I'm way more restrained.
Same. Now I'm like counting. Like once I get over three drinks, I'm like, you could go home now.
Yeah, like,
you could
tired.
Go home. You could go home, watch something, get into bed.
You don't have to talk to anyone anymore.
Yeah. You've done the rounds. It's been fun, but
I've got a very straight brother. Like he's as hetero as they come, you know, like he's like a league coach. He teaches league. Yeah. And like PE at a high school. Like
yeah. He was winner of Clio Bachelor of the Year. Do not leave out that detail.
His boys are like the boys, you know, his friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And I had to go to a stag do. I think I've talked about this before on the podcast. Like it was like that was certainly like, that was after I'd come out. And I was just like, I can't try and fit in with this.
But yeah.
Like earlier when I was in the closet, like it would be like a challenge to like seamlessly fit in with him and his
integrate
friends.
Into that.
And we'd play like, they'd be like, do you want to come play touch at the park? Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, just finish up this clarinet practice and then I'll be over there, mate.
Yeah.
Go kick a ball around. Like, I'm so bad at kicking a ball around. Like, but
oh my God.
I would always try. But I was like, why are we doing this? Like, I just could never understand the appeal of throwing or kicking a ball around.
It means you don't have to talk or share your feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. No, keep your feelings out of it. And it's like those zorbs, you know, those things.
That's not a zorb. A zorb is the plastic ball that you're inside as you tumble down the hills of Rotorua. You're thinking of a vortex mega howler.
Hey, just found my drag queen name.
What, vortex mega howler?
Yeah.
She just comes out, she's like... I remember... throwing that and it not making the sound. That's how bad I was at throwing
Vortex
it.
Vortex Mega Howler is literally the best drag queen name that's ever existed.
Because Vortex for short's quite cool.
Yeah.
And it's also like, a vortex is a really big hole, isn't it?
Yeah, and a Mega Howler is just brilliant. Yeah.
Wow. I'm glad you found that.
Thank you. But yeah, like I was so bad at throwing those. And I was always like, fuck, all the straight dudes can throw these. Why can't I throw this mega howler? Get it together, Parker. Throw the vortex. Oh. I just wanted to fall into a vortex. And it just swallowed me whole.
When people are just chucking a ball around in conversation or in a pool or something, I feel like I have to step up my awareness so high.
You're like, guys, I can't talk. I'm literally trying to like breathe and catch.
I'm focusing so hard on catching this ball. Also, when I like walk past a park and someone's like, you know, some people are playing soccer or whatever, and their ball comes towards me.
Oh my
god! Kicking it back to the people playing the sports game is the most terrifying thing for me.
But I just chuck it back and you're like, I can't. Don't make me. It'll show everything. It'll show all my weaknesses.
Yeah. While we're in Surfers Paradise, they were playing tennis out the front of our hotel, and it was like in a big, you know, tennis cage. I think it's the technical term.
Yeah, yeah.
And the the ball flew out of that. So then we had to throw it back in with enough height to clear the cage and return to them. And it was seamless. It happened.
Wow.
Thank God. But it was daunting.
Oh my god, this podcast has gone on so long. We could literally talk for hours on this.
Yeah, and all we've done in this podcast called You Couldn't Tell was reveal a lot of information where you clearly could tell about both of us.
I think the moral of the story is you can always tell.
You can always tell, baby.
Hey, thanks BigPipe.co.nz for sponsoring this episode of The Male Gaze. Do you know what we can tell, Big Pipe? That you're the best.
We love you. Bye-bye. I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.